There is something about the familiar that familiar people that sometimes can make us, or not even just familiar people, but the familiar that makes us wonder if anything special can come from it. If you've ever lived in a small town, for example, there's, you know, depending on the person and depending on who they are, there might be, you might have a little bit of that, who does this guy think he is kind of thing. And I think that's what we had there with Jesus. Here's this young man that had grown up there, and he is teaching as, and we all know what he's teaching because we can read the what he's teaching in the rest of, you know, he's teaching here, and they're wondering, who does this guy think he is? And they're discounting his teaching and discounting what he did. I mean, he says that he healed some people by laying hands on them. You know, that's, you would think that would give him some credibility. But apparently, Nazareth was one of those places that they didn't think anything special was going to come from there. I remember Garrison Keillor doing the Lake Wobegon stuff. Lake Wobegon was kind of that way. I think he said like the town motto was something like, "We know who we are," you know, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, and that's what happens. And so we discount things because they're familiar. And I think, you know, because we know their weaknesses, Jesus had no weaknesses, certainly not moral weaknesses anyway, but they knew him, and we know their weaknesses, we know where they've come from and things like that. And we wonder how they could accomplish such things. And I think that this kind of thing might even begin with ourselves, because who knows our weaknesses better than we? And we think that we're not capable of oftentimes the kind of things that we're capable of, because we know what a struggle it would be. We know how difficult it might be. But of course, we want to remember that, first of all, God is always with us. We never have to accomplish anything alone. And as Paul says, Paul the Apostle says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so what we pray for is faith. We pray for the faith to do what God wants, to go where God leads us, to do the things that God, and trust that, yes, we know our weaknesses, God knows them too. And perhaps he can even show us how to make our weaknesses into a strength. I can think of minor one for myself, you know, that being kind of an introvert, I think I can use that because I don't have, you know, I can listen. I like to think I'm a fairly decent listener. Being kind of introverted, meaning that I like to take time to process and things before I say things. And so I can listen when somebody wants to talk and things like that. It's a way God can help us to turn our weaknesses into strengths, depending upon what they are. But in any event, we trust that God can overcome those weaknesses that we have and help us to be the people that he intended us. And I think the next thing maybe starts with family. Again, family is sometimes, especially, you know, we've all grown up together and we've all learned each other's weaknesses over the years. And so we discount things maybe when they come from our own family and try to hold them back and things like that because they're familiar. And so it's difficult. Family, community sometimes, especially small towns, we do that. And so, you know, but what we want to do is remember that everything and everybody comes from somewhere. Even the greatest, well, Jesus came from Nazareth. The greatest of everybody comes from somewhere. And so if something great is coming up from our midst, we want to encourage it, we want to recognize it, we want to strengthen it. If we are called for something great, and maybe we're not great in we're all called to something great in our own way. We're all called, first of all, to be followers of Christ. We're all called to live as Christ lived, to give ourselves as Christ gave himself. If we can live up to our calling as Christians, that is a great thing, although we may think it kind of ordinary. But just because something is ordinary doesn't mean it is great. And which brings me to my next point, which is, you know, every once in a while I see these surveys where, you know, some ungodly percent of Catholics do not believe that the Eucharist is really the body and blood of Christ. That, you know, it's always some percentage. Of course, we always want to include, we want to remember that these surveys usually include people who somehow identify as Catholic but don't practice the faith at all and things like that. But I think there are even, certainly no one here, of course, but I think there are people who go to church but don't really believe it's the body and blood of Christ, because how could that be? You know, how could that schlub up there in the green robe conjure up the body of Christ? Well, you know, that's a good question, because a priest is just another guy like everybody else for the most part. You know, what is special about us? I mean, you know, some of us have special qualities and things like that. That's great, but I mean, obviously, what is special about us that enables us to be the minister of the sacrament is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has ordained us, and the Church has said that we are valid ministers for this. It's the Church's sacrament. But, of course, ultimately, it's Jesus. It's God's sacrament. And it is not the schlub in the green robe that does this. He's just the minister. Jesus and the Holy Spirit changes and so God really does this. And the thing is, because we see it so frequently, the frequent becomes ordinary and it becomes nothing special. But of course, it is something special every time we do it. The fact that we do this every week and actually every day, there, you know, a number of people in this parish come every day. The fact that it happens every day for us doesn't make it any less special. I remember somebody, a Protestant, saying that if Catholics really believed what they say they believe, they would spend all their time in prayer. The time that they weren't at church, they would be on their knees thanking God for the wonderful gift that he gives us. But God doesn't ask us to do that. But God does ask us to believe that the sacrament is real, because it is. Despite appearances, God can work beyond appearances. We know that. We know that with Jesus. Jesus apparently didn't appear to these people of Nazareth any different than any other Nazarene, any other person from Nazareth, but he was. And God, of course, worked because he is God made flesh. God works through Jesus, and he still does. And God works through the sacrament. So the sacrament becomes Jesus, and Jesus then works in us. He becomes one with us in the communion, and as such unites us together. And so, indeed, the bread and the wine become Jesus, still appearing to be bread and wine, and we become the body of Christ by consuming that. Despite appearing to be just, you know, an assembly of Bismarckians, I don't know what would be Bismarckers. However, yeah, we are. We begin as kind of an assembly of Bismarckians, but we become the body of Christ because of the common communion that we share and the common spirit as well. And so together, we can accomplish what we may not be able to do as individually. Together with God, we can do that. And so, indeed, we don't want to let the routineness, if you will, of this sacrament cloud what it is. It is Jesus. This sacrament is Jesus giving himself, first offering himself to the Father for our sins, but then giving himself to us to be so that we are one with him and one with another and form then the body of Christ on earth, that is the church. So indeed, ordinary, yes, because it happens all the time, but amazing, certainly. So we want to remember that the amazing begins maybe as the ordinary, but becomes the amazing with God's help, and especially the sacrament of the altar.